We're excited to advance and play a pretty gritty South Florida team, and I hope we play some great basketball at least one last time for two of the seven players that could possibly be leaving our program.
With that, let's open up for questions just for the student athletes at this time. If you raise your hand, we'll get a microphone to you, and Pete's got the first one.
Aaliyah, I'm sure you've seen some film in South Florida now. Does Dulcie remind you of some of the things you do with her relentlessness and the way she'll take on two and three, you know, team two or three defenders and be able to score?
Yeah, definitely. I think she's a great post player, very physical. I also like the physicality of the game. She rebounds the ball pretty well and finishes pretty good around the basket. So, yeah, she does.
Hey, Fabri, just looking back at the Norfolk State game, I guess what are a few small points of emphasis maybe on your mind going into this next one that you want to improve on team-wide?
I think just a general statement, you know, going into a tournament, we can't, you know, play with teams, especially in the first half of the game, you know, because in the second half, those teams can be good in those types of situations. So we definitely want to focus on, you know, playing our best team basketball and making sure we can put these teams away early.
For Aaliyah and Bree, has it hit you yet that tomorrow, no matter what happens, the last time you're going to play here at, or could be the last time you're going to play at the CLA?
Bree, you want to take that first?
Yeah, definitely there's been some moments where, you know, I thought about how I have to clean my locker out after, you know, Sunday's game. And I mean, it definitely hits me. It's more, you know, of an emotional time this year.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I was going to say the same thing Bree said about the locker, because she actually pointed out, and I was like, oh, that's true. So, yeah.
For both the players, Bree Hall has had a big three, I think, almost as soon as she subbed into the last two games. Just speak to kind of her impact off the bench and the ability to stay ready and help you all in that way.
Aaliyah, you want to take that first?
Yeah, I mean, Breezy in practice has just been very consistent, ready when her name is called, and I think she's been playing great basketball, playing at her pace, doing exactly what we needed her to do, and I think she's just been honestly doing everything that we need her. She's hitting big shots at the perfect time.
Bree?
I think the same as well. It just shows definitely throughout practice and throughout time, you know, last year and this year, she's learned a lot from, you know, the upperclassmen, especially, you know, guard play. She's comes in, she's patient, you know, she's willing to, you know, ask questions and listen to, you know, what we have to tell her. So just to see her come in and score easily within the offense, or, you know, her teammates trusting her to knock down those shots, it's good to see.
Pete?
Bree, I know this probably, the answer could probably take up the rest of the press conference time, but how important, how essential was it for you to come and play for Dawn, and the things you've learned and the relationship that you've had over the years? And as much as, you know, you see a person like you being achieving things like that, how important was that for you in coming here?
It could be, you know, a deep answer, but just to keep it short, I feel like, you know, coming here, I knew I could trust her, I could trust the staff, you know, the people that were telling me what it was, you know, what this community was about. I know it's somewhere I wanted to be, you know. As soon as I got here, she definitely, you know, led me down a journey so I can find out who I am and who, you know, what position makes me the best. So I think it really was, you know, a trust factor, and, you know, you don't necessarily know what you're getting into, so I kind of just jumped right in, and she led me the right way.
Any other questions from the floor? Now, we do have a couple questions via Zoom. Patrick Waring. Patrick, you want to go?
Yes, I have a question for Bree and Aaliyah. We talk a lot about the culture at South Carolina, and I just kind of just wanted to ask both of you, what do you think has been the most important thing that's led to success for this team and for teams in the past?
Aaliyah, you want to go first?
Thinking about our culture, I think discipline is the biggest thing. Just being disciplined to what you know you have to do, doing the right thing, just staying the course, because, you know, there can be a lot of things that happen in life, but staying and keeping our circle the main thing, I think, has just been the biggest thing.
Bree?
I definitely agree with that. You know, you're stepping from the outside world into here, our little bubble, just, you know, given everything you have while we're on the court, while we're practicing, you know, things like that, probably, you know, are some of the biggest things, biggest factors for us.
And another question from Gabriella Lewis.
Hi, this is for both of y'all. I just was hoping you could speak to Raven Johnson, you know, what the impact she's had on this team, as well as also just her growth this season, you know, 7 assists last night, what she brings to the floor for y'all, and especially coming off the bench.
Bree?
I think for us, you know, probably behind the scenes, she's always bubbly. She brings great positive energy, you know, no matter the day, no matter, you know, what she's having or going on in her private life. So we definitely cherish that. And, you know, just to see her growth, especially when there's been times where Key wasn't able to play because due to injury, and her just stepping up and, you know, whether she's nervous or not, showing that she is a great point guard, whether she's young or not. So just to see her growth, it was an amazing thing to see.
Raven is a great spark off the bench. She pushes pace. I think she does a great job running our team. I think her vision on the court is something that is just a blessing to have on this, for this program. But she's just that spark on the bench that runs the team really well.
All right. We'll let the student athletes go at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. And we'll open up for questions for Coach Staley. You got David with the first one.
How's it going, Dawn? Going back to getting Kiara out of the transfer portal, just what were the conversations like from you to her? Was it, I need a point guard, I think this would be a great fit? Just what was that combo like when you first approached her and got her to come here?
When she went into the portal, we knew we were losing Henny. We didn't know at the time, but Henny decided to take her chance on going to the draft. And then we just explained to Kiara what our situation was. We needed an experienced guard with the team that we were bringing back. And I didn't tell her she would start. I just said you and Raven would compete for the position, but there's definitely some playing time. What you do with it is on you. But I'll be fair about it. I won't, you know, just put Raven in the starting lineup. You have an opportunity to compete for it, but your experience, you know, is the main thing that we need. I did ask her if she could help guide Raven, because she's such a young point guard that hadn't played. She played one and a few plays in the second college, you know, season in her freshman year. And then when she came on a visit, she actually came during, I think it was postseason. It's postseason. So she officially visited during the postseason, during the first and second round. And I think, she saw the way we prepped. And then she was here for a game. So she saw the crowd. And I don't think she took too many visits. If she took maybe enough, I don't even know if she took another visit. You might have to find that out. I like when they make a decision early, they know what they want, and they make a decision, and they don't mess around with it. Either way, if they came or if they decided not to come.
Pete?
Dawn, what have you seen out of Dulcie's game down low, and does she have some similarities to Aaliyah's game?
She posts up so strong. She is very, very active on both sides of the basketball. She's unafraid. Like, she wants the ball, and she does a really good job at scoring. Like, she's very efficient when 2 feet are in the paint. She runs the floor extremely well. And there are a lot of similarities in their game, because they will command a lot of attention. I don't think we'll double or triple team her. I think we'll just play her straight up. If she forces us to double her, then she's working us over.
Sure.
Dawn, there was a nice moment after yesterday's game when the Norfolk State players asked you to come and see them. I just sort of wondered what you said as far as encouragement and that kind of stuff to them. And Diana said you did the same thing last year when Incarnate Word lost their play-in game here, and you met them at the Asia statue early. Do you remember how early in the morning it was and how long you stayed with them?
Yeah. I mean, when we were going, just after the game, we were going down the line, just, you know, greeting each other. One of the players asked me if I wouldn't mind taking a picture with her. And I was like, sure. And then I actually forgot about it. I'm actually sitting in the men's locker room, and I'm like, somebody knocked on the door, and then, you know, they said, your coach said she would take a picture, and then when I opened the door, it was like 20 of them, and I was like, come in, and then they were taking pictures, they were talking, and then the young lady, number 50, I think her name is Kiara, I mean, she worked us over. I had to let her know that she did a great job at just doing what you need to do against taller opponents. And I just told her I could remember the time when we had 6-foot post players and we had to do the exact same thing. And we found some success in it. And I just, you know, just wanted her to know that I saw her like doing what she needed to do. And it was real promising, especially with her only being a sophomore. Like it was, she took her time. She got incredible rebounds over Camilla, over Aaliyah. I mean, she just did what she needed to do to make an impact. And I didn't know I was being filmed or anything. I just thought I would share that with a younger player.
Please use the microphone if you would.
Yeah, Incarnate Word. After we were in the tunnel when they were coming off the court, and I was just told them, good game, good game, good game. And then I ended up speaking to one of the players that wanted to take pictures, and somehow I met the coach, and they were like, they're gonna take some pictures at the A.J. Wilson statue the next morning, because they didn't leave until the afternoon. And I just said, I'll meet you over there. And then we just took pictures. I don't know how early it was. It was probably 8, 9 o'clock. I don't think it was like 6 in the morning. So, yeah, we took pictures. I think we were out there a good half an hour.
Dawn, question on Craig Oates, your trainer. Just tell me about the relationship y'all two have. You know, when did you bring him on board, how you met him, yeah, and how he's helped the team success-wise?
Yeah, I mean, that's really a hard position to, you know, to hire because you don't know, you know. But when you worked at UVA, I mean, I was in the training room a lot. I got that trophy for the player that was, you know, deemed the training room award. So I know the great work that UVA athletic trainers do. I know who they trust to make sure that athletes' psyche and mental and physical health are top notch. And then we kind of stole him from UVA, and we presented an opportunity to work with our team, and he's been great. Like he's probably a little softer than I like, in that he takes such great care of them, almost to the point where it's time to let them go and get back on out there. That's why I don't touch when players are injured, because pain is personal. But he does a great job at making sure they're not putting themselves in harm's way. If they're ill or if they're hurt, he gets them right. And the most important thing is he and Molly Bonetti have a tremendous relationship. Like, that's our strength and conditioning coach. They work extremely well together. And they're probably the secret sauce behind our success.
Pete?
Dawn, a couple of bigger picture questions. The growth of the game, tomorrow's game's on ABC, the championship game's going to be on ABC coming up. Could you have imagined how far this game has come when you were in high school being courted by, you know, all these programs to come play college basketball?
Well, I mean, if you take me back that far, I didn't really know exactly where the game was. Playing on television was probably the biggest thing. Growing up, but just as far as coaching, like, this is my 23rd year coaching, and I sometimes you just have your head down and you're just trying to do what you need to do in your space, and then you grow in this game, and you find out there are certain things that aren't happening. Like, there are still firsts in our game. The first, like, this first time we played on ABC this year, right? Yeah. What was it last year? This year?
This year.
This year.
We played there last year.
We played on ABC last year?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's the second time. Like, why? Like, I mean, I should be very happy, but, I mean, we've had so much great basketball for us to be in year two that we're playing on ABC. So, obviously, the numbers are good enough for us to repeat, and it shows that we deserve to be in this space on ABC, but it also shows that this probably should have happened a long time ago, because you don't just overnight get those numbers. Somebody's watching women's basketball. Somebody feels like we're in high demand. And obviously the decision makers that put us on now realize that they got to keep putting us on.
You know, also, you know, I remember when you first came here, you know, we'd ask you questions about, well, is what UConn, is what Tennessee is doing, is that good for the game? Yeah. Is it, you know, because it's tight. Now you're the ones on top. You caught them, those programs, and you're the ones on top. Is having a team like yours, undefeated, looking for a perfect season, is that good for the game? Or is parity, you know, do you see parity behind you?
Is it good for the game? I don't want to, you know, shake things up, but do we get the coverage that other undefeated teams got? Is that good for the game? I mean, we're still sitting here where we sit, and we're not the you know, highlight of this tournament. We're the highlight because we carved a space to be that, because we're undefeated, but we're not the one. We're not my player. Aaliyah Boston is the one that's being talked about on men's games. Okay? She's not. And is that good for the game? I think there's room to talk about the very best players in our game, no matter what. Not a one-off, not, you know, talk about this player because, you know, we want her name out there, or that player. And it wasn't Aaliyah last year either. So for me, what's good for the game is to call the game like you see it. Don't create narratives. Don't create things that are advantageous to players that will get the most clicks. Our game is incredible. We got incredible players. We got incredible coaches. We got incredible fans and following. Like, call it like you see it. Don't create narratives that will give certain players the edge or certain programs the edge, because there's room for all of us to be in this space, and we can lift up our entire game, not just this little pocket of people. And let's not talk about people. Let's not talk about players. Like, people talked about what Aaliyah had last year. And don't talk about that. Talk about what is good for our game. What is good? Like, because there's so many things that are great for our game that we create this. And then it's dissension on social media. And is that good to talk? I mean, yeah, it's good conversations for fan bases to talk about. But in essence, we're still breaking down who we are, and we're still trying to become a sport, like a sport that people recognize as a sport. And I know that's part of it, but I mean, it's too many great things and great players that we need to keep uplifting.
Well, we're talking about you down here.
Yeah, I know. I mean, not our local media. No, I know what you all do, and I really appreciate that. And I think if somebody would want to do a documentary on what you do for our program and the way you've lifted our program, I think we can model that and stick it in each, you know, we can stick it in different cities where there's, you know, where there's women's basketball. Not even heavily followed. I mean, it'll be a start, you know, for our game to continue to rise to the levels that will get us those units. We still want those units. Yeah.
Matt.
Yeah, Don, you're kind of going off of that and culture and everything, something you've clearly built here. Does it impress you at all when you look at a South Florida program that has five international starters and has that self-belief to get that win yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to watch them. I mean, we've had an opportunity to see them here again because we saw them last year and see how far they've come. And they've already were a really good program. But you can see their culture. You can see their connectivity. You can see how well they play together. And, you know, you don't win a game like you won yesterday without having that because they were down the entire game. But yet you never saw frustration. You just saw them just keep grinding it out. And again, that's another great story about our game. It was a great game between Marquette and the South Florida. I hope it's not a great game tomorrow, seriously. My nerves can't take it.
Alan?
Kind of sticking with his point a little bit and kind of the big picture stuff. South Florida's gone international a lot. You've recruited out of Brazil. How have you seen that side of women's basketball grow in the last few years, and how much does that help grow the sport?
Yeah, I mean, I think once you have an end, when you have an end in recruiting internationally, I mean, it's another option that, you know, you know you're going to get some great players that probably you don't have to compete for, you know, with, you know, 50 other schools. And I do think Jose does a great job. I think somebody's on his staff, or he's over there probably a couple months out of the summer just trying to find some hidden talent. And he's built his program on it, and I think it's a great option because, there are great players here in the States. But, you know, I mean, we got a player that we're recruiting at 30 schools. You know, if you go overseas, they may have two or three or maybe five at the most. And I think it's a viable option for programs that are committed to it. If you can ask Coach Tanner if he can increase our recruiting budget, I'll find myself in Europe somewhere.
Jerry.
Dawn, Diana said that you've called Letitia the most versatile player mm-hmm. you've ever coached. Could you sort of describe that a little bit about what she brings and how she's also had some tough sort of personal issues
yep.
to deal with and
yep.
how she got through that.
And I mean, that's versatility as well, to be able to combat injuries like she came in with an injury. She came in early. She graduated early from high school to come in. Have a surgery, and then we helped her rehab that. And then once she's able to play, she was probably not even 50% of who she would become in her first or second year. And then and once she got a little bit more comfortable, I didn't shy away from playing her. Like, I probably played her a lot more than I should have played her, her freshman year. Because I knew what type of player she would be. I mean, she's super unselfish. She can play multiple positions on both sides of the basketball, 1-5. She could play 1-5. She could play 1-5 on, you know, she can play the point for us. She's done that for us. She can play the 2, 3, 4, 5, and do it well. Not like, you know, there's a drop-off no matter what position that she plays. And I've never coached anybody that comes with that much and determination. Like, she really doesn't care. Like, put her anywhere. I often just wonder what she would have been like as a starter, like as a 4-year starter. I don't like that she hasn't started in her career. But she never gave us any issues with it. She always trusted that this was the best decision for her and the team. And I'll say this, I think I said it yesterday, that she of all the players that will make that transition to the league, she'll probably transition the best, because probably not any of them besides Aaliyah has a legitimate chance of starting for a franchise, unless they have some injuries, which we don't want them to have. But she'll play her natural position off the bench and will be a bang off the bench for a WNBA team without, you know, having to think about, when will I get in, or I don't start. They're going to have some transition if they decide to go and be the 11th player coming off the bench. That's going to be hard. LA's been through it all. She started, she's come off the bench, first one off the bench, third one off the bench. So she's more prepared to handle it.
Let's go to some Zoom questions. Gabriella Lewis.
Hi, Coach. Gabriella Lewis with the Next. I was just hoping you could speak to the bench squad of Camila, Raven, and Leticia, and, you know, what them as a group bring right off the bench for you and the impact they have.
I mean, they are just, you know, one, quality human beings. Two, super, super, super competitive. Like, you don't make an impact when you come into the game without making an impact in practice. Like, they practice like they're starters. And I think we treat them like they're starters because they get pretty much the same amount of reps. And then when we don't have the highlighters, which is our male practice team, when we have to go against each other, it's not very often that they don't win versus the starters. They just play with a different type of energy. Like, you know, if we played, an entire game, I think the starters would edge them out. But if we're just playing 10 possessions, more times than not, they get after it.
And Patrick Waring.
Okay, I'm on. Hey, Coach. Patrick Waring from the NBS Sports Hour. I just wanted to ask you, I just asked Aaliyah and Bree just kind of about the culture and what's been important. I wanted to ask you, I mean, how much do you, I guess, charge or credit to the players as far as leading and creating culture there?
Every year we get some new players coming into our, you know, our program. And the culture that was established, I would say, before the 2019 class came in was pretty good. We probably dipped a little bit right before they came in. And then when they came in, they started anew. They started with, you know, one, only wanting to win. They only wanted to make Ty and Kiki proud. That's what all they wanted to do. They didn't want to shake anything up. I mean, they really didn't know how to shake things up. But they came in with a certain following and with a lot of publicity. And they just wanted to be freshmen. They just wanted to, you know, be understudies to what was already here, and they took on that role, and they've taken our program to another level from a cultural standpoint, because I've never seen a group of players approach practice like they approach practice. Like, Ty and Kiki used to come into practice when they were older, wanting to see the practice card. Like, when is practice over? Like, what do we got to do? Is it a hard day? Is it? Not one of the freshies ever wanted to look at the practice card, and to this day. And I'll say this, the practices have been a lot shorter over the past 4 years or 5 years than they've ever been in my entire coaching career, only because they're lean. There's no fat to what they're doing. They only want to do things that are beneficial to them. So they don't practice bad basketball, and that's a great quality.
I wanted to ask you real quick, too, just about a memory. I was watching a game earlier today. They showed a picture with you, Michael Jordan, Corey Alexander, Jerry Stackhouse, Juwan. You guys were playing a pickup game in Greensboro. Just wanted to ask you about that. What are your memories from then?
I really just remember playing with MJ. Yeah, he took all the shots. I know Corey Alexander, but I just don't. The only fond, just a vivid memory I have was just being on the court with MJ. He's the biggest trash talker that you've ever met before, but he backed it up.